You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for Game of Thrones. Tonight's host is Bethany Jaber. Joining Bethany will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Nathan Hertz, Curtis Taylor, and Sarah Stretton. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Game of Thrones news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Bethany Jaber!
Good evening. Unfortunately, Nathan is not with us tonight, but Sarah and Curtis seem to be experts on Game of Thrones. This is my first night back with AfterBuzz, so I'm going to defer to them a lot. But as I was watching the show, it's not as serial or procedural. We don't have like an A or B and C storyline to just follow. It's more like a soap. Yeah. We have like 12 things going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. So Lord Stark is getting settled into Kingsland, and his wife comes to visit him and bring him some news. We get a glimpse of his bastard son, John, fighting up north and protecting the wall. And everybody's kind of preparing for this winter. Arya begins her training. We find out the Tygerian king, how he died at the hands of Jamie Lannister.
Lannister.
It's like all like English, but not really.
Yeah,
I want to say Lancaster, but it's
exactly.
Lannister. We get some more information about the imp. So it's just there's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Lord Stark. My goodness, he's kind of come home in a way.
I think he's actually more of leaving home. He's
exactly.
going to this
mm-hmm.
world where he's obviously been before,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he likes it. Like, to him, we saw him go into this meeting of the small council,
yeah.
and he's like, what is going on
yeah.
here? This is corrupt. This isn't being run right. And it's to him, I think it's such a difference. I mean, in the North, he has all these values of nobility
yeah.
and rights and treating people well, even when you're about to kill them, like
mm-hmm.
always doing that. And then he comes to this new place that's supposed to be the capital of their world, and he thinks it's just like disgusting.
Yeah, it's, like, it's all over places in disarray. Like we talked last week, the Starks seem like the most loving and the most organized family, you know,
mm-hmm.
and up north they're very structured. And then, you know, you come down here where, like you said, where King's Landing, where you think this is the center core of your kingdom. And
yeah.
it should be ran a certain way, and we're finding out that it's not pretty much being ran at all.
No, he sits down at that table and he goes, well, in order of my celebratory arrival, I want like 40,000 here, 10,000 there, 10,000 there. And the whole table looks at him like, oh, dude.
Like, we don't have that kind of money.
We don't have
yeah.
that, but we'll find it. But then they go, but we'll find it somewhere.
Well, no, what they actually,
yeah.
it's kind of interesting. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry. What's interesting is that we also find like, I hate to keep referring to last week because you didn't know.
No, that's okay.
But last
Please
week
do.
We wanted to know what the bond was between the Lannisters and the king.
Yeah.
Well, we're also finding out this week that there's another bond
mm-hmm.
Between the Lannisters and the king is financial. I mean,
yeah.
the Lannisters yep. have a lot of money, and the king is, you know, the kingdom or King's Landing is broke, and they're in debt. They're in a dire debt.
$6 million in debt.
Absolutely. So,
which is,
yeah.
I'm assuming, a lot of money.
Oh,
yeah.
a ton. And one thing that I was going to add to that point exactly is that they mentioned that $3 million of that debt was from the Lannisters.
Yeah.
So borrowed from the Lannisters. And that's
yeah.
just giving that family even more power.
More
exactly.
power.
Yeah.
That's kind
so
of.
So that was, you know, that's the bond that, you know, that bonds them basically
yeah.
to the kingdom.
Yeah.
There's
so.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, they're intertwined. They're extremely. We're finding out more and more how corrupt these Lannisters are, you know, and how much of a stronghold they have on the kingdom, per se. Financially, they're, you know, Cersei's. She's actually married to Robert.
Yeah.
Who Cersei's, Queen Cersei's actually sleeping with her brother, Jaime, which is a twin brother.
And we
find out it's a twin brother, so it's kind of as yucky. But
and as the boy is, like, so to speak, healing and waking up and saying he doesn't remember, does he remember? I mean, or does he really not remember? What is it? Is he keeping a secret, or do you think he really has amnesia of some sort?
In this, I'm thinking that he actually, I don't know. I'm a little confused on that, too. I think he might just be scared. Like, he's supposed to be, what, 7 years old or something. Mm-hmm. He has really no idea really what he saw or what it would really imply. He doesn't understand what, like, saying would do. Maybe he thinks he would get in trouble. So there's really room for it to be either way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that, you know, he knows and, like, it comes out of him or, like, he gets in some dire situation where he has to tell people. But it could go either way in my mind. Like, it's a very – I think it's cool that they made it a secret.
Ambiguous. Yeah, a secret.
Yeah, see, in my thought, it was trauma. There was a lot of trauma that took place in that situation. So a lot of times when, you know, you have a serious trauma in a situation, you know, people tend to, you know, lose, you know, their memory. So my guess is that he was completely traumatized and he's, like, in shock right now of the whole situation. And gradually – as he basically gets his bearings straight, then he starts.
If he gets his legs back,
Well, he won't. You know, he might possibly get his legs back.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because they were training him to be, you know, a great swordsman, stuff like that, and, you know, archer and so forth. And his sister, Arya,
is actually
she shot an arrow like straight through the target.
The bullseye.
Yeah, the bullseye from a distance, you know, further than he was, and he was missing the entire target. So they had Bram, you know, being trained like that, and his sister Arya, which is a Spitfire, which I love, you know, so much. She's
but it's good. So sad because if he can't walk, they're taking away the one strength that he really did have, which was his joy of climbing.
Yeah.
And that was his one love. Like, he would break any rule to do that. It was like his little joyous event, and that's the thing they're taking away from him. And that's so sad.
It is sad. It's really sad. I hope he heals.
Well, that's why he was like, I'd rather be dead than to not walk.
I get
because
it.
That was his little, he was like a little monkey. I mean, he used to climb everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. And now he's stuck to that bed.
Yeah, now he's stuck to the bed.
Explain to me the seasons here. Because they keep talking about this winter impending and the years of their birth, and I was born during a long summer. And my summer was 9 years, and so forth. So, like, Sarah, I'm a little confused. So have they had summer for a really long time now?
Well, basically, they're in a period of summer, but it still snows. And in the north, it's colder, and in the south, it's warmer, and it progressively gets warmer as you go south.
Yeah.
So even in summer, there's still snow in the north.
Of course.
Even in summer, but there's still
like
daylight.
Alaska,
it's like the Arctic.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's still like daylight.
Yeah.
And then in these seasons, these long seasons last for years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sometimes they even last for generations.
Mm-hmm.
So old Nan told a story about how there was a full generation in winter where people were born and then died. Straight in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what they're telling them is the younger children have never experienced.
That's so terrifying. I'm sorry. The thought of like a whole lifetime of winter.
And darkness in the north. Just great darkness.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. Please continue.
Oh, no.
She's great.
But so they're talking about these kids. So you have Bran and Arya. Those are the ones and are for sure and have never seen a real winter.
Yeah.
So that's why they're summer births. because they've only seen that. And then people who are born in the winter are winter births.
But I can't.
So they're preparing for something very long, long to come. And they're terrified. I thought it was very interesting. Not to switch things up too much, watching the imp pee on the wall because he was like, I don't really believe in these white walkers or whatever. And I don't wild things like I don't really care. And then we see him peeing on the wall towards the end of the episode.
Like symbolism.
Basically be like, and this is how I feel about my wall. What's up? And I was like, oh, you're going to be in so much trouble later.
Yeah, definitely.
I was just waiting for it to drip down on like an evil beast at the bottom or
someone
like,
that one of the wildlings to have a bow and arrow and just shoot him like right in his
groin. I was expecting something.
But I guess it was just symbolism, like you said, it was symbolism of him, you know, pissing on.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in it. He doesn't. He just is like, I don't think. And so I think something will unfortunately happen to him.
Oh, we know something's building. I mean, it's building to the first episode. These White Walkers are mentioned from the very beginning, in the very first scene. So you know they're coming, and it's just such an... This fear is just gripping the show, because in the North, we know, as the audience, we know there's this supernatural force coming at them. And then we also see this... We get to see this army building across the sea. They could really be a real power. And so we see these two forces just... could totally destroy the Seven Kingdoms. Because there's two of them. They're huge. These things are uncontrollable. You've got 100,000 men from the Jakarians, and you've got supernatural beings from above the wall.
I don't want to mess with the supernatural beings.
This is totally off the wall, but Sarah, have you been tanning?
I did lay out this week.
Yeah, she's looking kind of like...
She has.
Almost like me. Well, not quite.
Be safe.
Be safe.
No, she looks good. She looks good.
You look good.
You know, pretty soon.
Tan it up.
Next week, she will be me.
I'm trying.
I'm trying. Wear a hat or something. Protect yourself.
See, she never says that about me because...
What?
You know, you can still burn.
Be safe.
You can still burn. It's so bad for your skin.
Yeah, it is. It's dangerous.
I've never been sunburned.
No,
and I've been out in the sun for quite some time. But I've been told, that we can burn.
Yeah, you can.
Just never had it. So.
Or you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought when you get sunburned, you kind of, you know, right?
Yeah, you know.
See, Sarah. See,
I don't know. I get red sometimes, and sometimes you can't really tell.
See, because she's almost like me. That's why you almost just don't
know.
You
guys are funny.
You know, it's just a side because I'm thinking. That, you know, our listeners are going to be like, you know, because I told last week that I already had a, you know, crush on you from the other thing.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And then I said that Sarah was like, you know, she's a spinoff.
Because we're brunettes.
Well, yeah, I got to think for that.
Like brunettes.
So as it goes, the viewers are going to be like, wow, these women are hot.
They're like,
they're going to want to know. They're going to want to know. They're going to watch. And, you know,
now they're going to watch.
Last week, Sarah was like decked out in all black and she looked really sexy.
Nice.
And then now she looks sexier.
Now I'm tanner.
You're tanner.
And then she's more
tanner.
You
bring your like spring pinks in. I like it. I didn't know we were taping.
Well, no, you got that little, I have
like a
artsy rider type thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
She looks cool.
Yeah, she looks like she's chilling.
I have like my riding outfit on and my Red Sox t-shirt. Right. I clearly like threw it on and I was like, I gotta get there.
There's a viewer for you too. I'm sure a viewer's like, oh, she's hot. That's forget about that, Sarah.
Stop.
anyway, back to the topic.
No, let's talk about John. I think, speaking of hot, I think John, the bastard son, is super hot. I do.
It's weird because I'm reading the books along with watching the show, and they're fantastic. But it's so weird to me because the ages change. So sometimes I think of them as the book age, and I'm like, this doesn't match up. In the book, John is 14.
What?
And I'm like... Yeah.
John looks about 19, 24.
Yeah. I think we discovered he's actually 18.
Yeah,
really?
18.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's 17,
in real life?
18. No, in
no,
the show.
In the show.
Oh, okay. In the show, he's 18.
Yeah, but in the book, he's 14. So I look at him and I'm like so confused once in a while. But yeah, he has this very like, I don't know, there's something like behind his eyes working.
Yeah. Very sexy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, this tape's...
They say I have that kind of same thing.
Where does this tape... Do we know?
I don't know that.
Does anybody know? It would
be really interesting. I feel like...
He's asleep. You know, Jesse's asleep over there. He's not really paying attention to us. So
well, I've definitely heard, but I don't remember. But it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just curious if they film it in, like, New Zealand or England or
something. Yeah, it does have that New Zealand type thing.
It kind of does.
Because the mountains, then... A little bit,
but then they're clearly on a soundstage when they're in Kingsland.
It's filmed in Northern Ireland.
Oh, thank you so much.
There we go.
I appreciate that.
Woke up from the dead.
That's good to know.
Thank you, Jess.
I wonder if the Across the Narrow Sea Targaryen Draconian Land is filmed there too.
Maybe. Yeah,
I know. The tall grass place?
Yeah. It's, I guess.
We'll have to find this out.
Yeah.
Well, we know that Northern Ireland is a filming place.
Northern Ireland.
We should go stalk them.
Yeah, exactly. It's a beautiful place. We find
amazing.
Yeah. So John's bastard son, he like almost gets his like butt totally kicked because killed. Yeah, I know. You're like, Bethany, let's get more specific here. He almost gets like slaughtered because they find out he's a good fighter and he basically breaks this dude's nose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the imp come in casually and in a very like sophisticated way saves him. Mm-hmm. But I just in what the imp says, like telling these boys, almost men's stories, he begins to like empathize or sympathize with them a little bit, and we start to see him kind of training. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks like he's slowly helping them out and like trying to build those forces. And I just found that so sexy.
Yeah,
I found.
Damn.
Yeah, it was. Nice. It was like, oh, how wonderful and forgiving. Like these guys were about to kill you, and now you're like, I'm a bigger person than that. I'm going to train you.
Yeah,
that was very nice.
Because I mean, it does touch home. Like a lot of times, people judge people, and they have a preconceived idea or a notion about a person until they learn, you know, their story or their backstory, and then they're all of a sudden like, wow, we're kind of similar, or we have, we come from, because basically they all came from the same kind of situation where they were all bastards in their own their own way. And the bond, you know, they begin to develop a bond because of it.
Yeah.
And so. I think we've seen that in every episode a little bit. We saw John obviously bonding with his youngest sister, Arya, and that was both because even though they both belong to the same family, they both were outsiders in their own way. Yeah. John, obviously a bastard, and Arya, like, doesn't want to be a lady.
And she doesn't want to be a lady. She wants to be, like, this strong man.
She wants
man.
To be a boy.
Yeah, this strong man. Yeah.
So they bonded. Yeah. And then we're kind of seeing John and Tyrion the Imp bond. And both of them are kind of the black sheep of their family.
Yeah.
And now I think we're going to see him bond as a trainer type person for these other men who are sentenced to the wall.
So
I think it's just I think it's kind of a running theme. Like, we see the people who are outsiders bond, and we see the people who are privileged bond. It's like, it's very interesting, but it ends up all intertwining.
Then no matter where you put a Stark, they seem to rise to the top.
They do, because they seem to act with authenticity and honesty and lead with that. I'm just watching this scene on the screen here now where Lord Stark is with Arya, and she's going, well, why? Why did my sister have to lie?
Yeah.
And what did you guys think of that scene?
I thought it was so true to the storyline just because...
Really?
Oh, definitely. Because what he tells her in the scene is that she has to back up this kid because he's going to be her husband one day.
This douchebag kid.
Joffrey.
Douchebag kid.
Sorry.
Yeah. Totally true.
Prince Joffrey is going to be king, sometime in his lifetime. And
they're betrothed.
Yeah.
And if he thinks she doesn't like her, I mean, he's the king. He could totally, have her secretly killed or something.
Or locked in a room and spend time in a cage. And so...
Exactly.
But she...
excuse me, that crow, you know what crows do, right?
No, tell me, sir. We're actually watching the episode play right now.
Well, and so are our listeners.
Yeah,
they can see us.
I guess it's, they can see us. But
the crow symbolizes death. Because anytime, in natural life, they say that if a crow lands on your shoulder, then you're going to die.
Does a crow really land on people's shoulders? Does that happen?
I've heard of a situation where a crow has landed on, a friend of a friend.
Okay.
That actually passed away.
I don't know if I want to hear this story.
Well, they said that Well, the friend of the friend told me that one of my friends in high school, a crow had landed on his head. Well, a couple of weeks later, he died.
That's freaky.
So, yeah, crows are actually symbolizing of death. Yeah, and that's why when that crow landed, you know, she started talking about death and started talking about all things that are dead, and, which is a white watcher.
Yeah.
It's actually even a little more than that. It's very cool that you picked up on that because they drew that crow from the book. Like, there's this, it's just interesting because the crow is, there's a big scene that they didn't add in this, but it's basically in Bran's mind when he's still asleep, and this crow tells him he has to fly. And basically, when he finally gives in to this crow telling him to fly instead of fall, then he gets to live. He wakes up. So it's very interesting that you even noticed the crow because they did, in a way, pull that from the book.
Yeah.
And it is a symbol. It is a symbol of the death and the avoiding death and that crow actually flying away.
Yeah. Wow. What did what did you all make of his, I want to say mum, but his mother coming.
Cat?
Yeah, to visit and she... I love it that she they go to the brothel and she's like, "How dare you! This is so inappropriate." But like, she doesn't. She also didn't look like that outraged.
No, no, she's, like she's been she's been in a grimy situation before.
She's too classy to get fully outraged. You
know? Yeah,
she'll chuck something.
I mean, she wasn't like hiding her eyes. She was like,
exactly. I think she's been in a situation like she's been in some bad situations up north. I'm sensing.
Yeah.
Or even in King's Landing, because she knew. Yeah. A lot of people in King's Landing, like Peter, you know, which is the guy that, you know, owned the brothel. They go way back. So, and then he, you know, he deals in brothels. So I think she has a little, she's got a little street cred. I think she's she a little street cred.
I think she was being upset for her, for like maybe her stature, but was really not all of that outrage. How dare you?
I find actually, speaking of Catherine and this guy who they
Peter,
I call him Littlefinger because I guess that's her nickname for him.
Yeah, okay, Littlefinger.
But they have a really interesting little relationship.
Yeah. What is that?
Well, he's on the small council, so he obviously has a lot of power. Mm-hmm. But he said in this episode that he was in love with her.
Yes.
And he went so far as to try and fight the first guy who was supposed to marry her.
Yeah.
Who was Ned's brother.
Yeah.
Another weird little loop that they throw in there. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's a very interesting thing that Lady Catherine says that she trusts him like a little brother. And I'm like,
and
this doesn't
like,
seem right. He does not seem that trustworthy. And, like, he was willing to fight the guy who first married you. Like, how are you going to trust him with the life of your new husband?
Exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't seem... I agree. I would not agree
with
that
statement.
He has
tunnel vision. I mean, he clearly told Ned Stark. He was like, you know, there's nothing I won't do for... Like, I can't refuse her at anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he's clearly showing that he has these kind of affections for her that... you know, are not brotherly.
Yeah, but it's definitely.
If it matters. I mean, I don't even think it matters in you know, the Game of Thrones, whether you're brother, sister, cousin.
I don't.
Twin.
I mean, we learned a while ago that for the Targaryens on the other side, they normally marry brother and sister.
Yeah.
So I don't think it is that weird. I think it's still very wrong to sleep with your brother when you're married to the king.
Absolutely.
I think that's a different
story. It's very wrong to sleep with your brother.
Yeah.
Twins.
In general.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird.
But the times. I guess we have to deal with the times. Like I said last week, back then, a lot of times royalty would sleep with family so they can
keep
the bloodline.
Just keep the power.
Keep the power within the family.
So that the power doesn't switch to somebody else.
Exactly.
So it makes sense.
And some of those kings are crazy.
Trying to maintain power.
It just seems a little close that you have a twin, like you're in love with your twin.
And I think they have a kid.
Do you think so?
Really? I think the little prince is their kid.
Yeah, probably. Because he is blonde. Yeah, he's
blonde haired, blue eyed. I mean, rules of genetics, most likely.
Really?
That would.
That's kind of a different type of.
Yeah, no, it is.
No, it's a plot. Like, that's something that we have to follow.
Yeah.
I mean, in the show, Cersei the Queen says that everyone outside of their family is an enemy.
Is an enemy, yeah.
And from their relationship, she just makes it seem like he's so much of her family and really removes him from his father's
family.
His said father's
and
family.
Do you think King Robert, you think he knows it somewhat?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, it's kind of one of those things. Like, you remember when the dire wolf bit him, he's like, he really wasn't super compassionate about the situation.
I think that was more of that Robert used to be this amazing warrior who just was bloodied the battlefield.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, that probably should have sent off red flags. Like, maybe this isn't my son. Like,
yeah.
He's a wimp and he only likes his mom. And
he doesn't seem to care too much. I mean, if I was like a killer crazy warrior and so, like and a dog son. Bit my son, I'd be like, it's a dog. Like,
you're fine.
Like a dog bit you. Like you, we saw the scratches. It wasn't. I mean,
it wasn't like he bit his hand off.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They were very minor.
Yeah.
And then she was like, and then you killed the dog. Yeah. Do you remember that bit where his mother is like telling him what happened?
Yeah. What about the dog? Why don't you kill the dog? And
she just basically like, she's such a manipulative person.
She's so like, manipulating.
I'm going to make you believe this story, and you're going to spread this, and we're all going to spread this, and then our truth is going to be the world's truth.
Yeah,
that's how it goes.
It was a little weird. Like, clearly he didn't kill the dog, but she's like, now you did kill the dog.
Yeah, it's like,
and
whatever.
I was like, wow, you people are messed up.
Big time.
And so I don't know how Lady Catherine is going to prove or go to Robert, or how anybody's going to go to Robert with this knife to be able to prove the Lannisters wrong.
The Lannisters.
How is that even possible?
Me personally, I think something's going to happen to Kat.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's one of those things where the cruelty and the manipulation is so deep that it's super dark. Wherever she's going is going to a very, very dark place.
Yeah.
And we do understand, or at least I understand, that when you go to a really, really dark place, the darkness doesn't really want to come to the light.
No.
So it's going to do whatever it can to
keep it
that way.
Yeah.
So something, if she keeps scratching down there in the basement, something in the basement is going to keep her there. Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know if you want to prove that. Maybe just worry about keeping your son safe.
Yeah.
But she seems
she's dead
pretty.
Bent. She's dead.
Yeah,
bent.
On contesting this and bringing it up and bringing it to Robert. Which when we also find out Robert doesn't really care for the
Lannisters.
Yeah.
Oh,
anyway.
No. Yeah. Not at all. I don't think.
But see, this is my plot. I mean, I think what's going to happen, something's going to happen to Kat. Like, I think Kat is going to get killed. I think she's going to get killed. Ned's going to go crazy in that situation because he's going to think that the Lannisters did it.
Yeah.
Which, because she already gave him the tidbit that it was a Lannister's knife. The dagger was Tyrion's.
Yeah.
So Ned is going to react, and he's going to kill one of the Lannisters.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to start a war within that particular family. It's like,
I think there is going to be a war started within. I'm not so sure they'll kill off Kat just because she's such a powerful woman in this situation.
Yeah.
And she has, I feel like there's so much more to her story. Plus, she has so many people even there, obviously, like in love with her. She
That's
has a lot
the whole
of respect.
Thing.
So I don't think they're going to kill her off just because I think they kind of need her. I think it's going to come down to no one's going to be able to prove to Robert except for Robert hearing himself.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be able to do it.
Or the child saying it to Robert.
To Robert.
Yeah, like, that could do it.
Yeah, those are the only really things I could see him believing.
Yeah. We also find out who killed the Mad King and how the Mad King died.
Mm-hmm.
And is it Tyrion?
Arius. Arius.
Arius.
Talking, which one, the Mad King, what's his name?
No, the Mad King, the man who killed the Mad King
Jaime
is
Lannister.
Jaime.
Jaime Lannister killed the Mad King, which is Arius.
Arius,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
Arius is a Targaryen, which was, there's only two Targaryens left.
Left.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And
two and a half now.
Two and a half now, yeah. Two and a half. Two and a half with the...
The new Khaleesi
being pregnant. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we find out that he stabbed him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what did he say? I remember Robert saying, well, what did he say? And he said the same thing that he was saying for the last hour. Burn them all.
Yeah.
And it was like in that moment, Jaime took the power back from Robert.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very odd moment.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of that comes from the fact that the Mad King killed Robert's father mm-hmm. and brother, and in a way,
it was Ned's. Sister. It was Ned's. Ned's. I thought it was Ned's. Ned's brother and father.
You're right. But he also killed them, and then, like in a way, killed Ned's sister, who he was in love with.
Yeah, you're right.
He, like, I believe
Robert was in love with
burned him. Ned's father and brother.
Yes,
so when he said burn them all, I think it was even more like, haha, people you cared about burned alive too.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to throw things that really hurt you back in your face.
Yeah. And to me, it's kind of like, to touch on what you said, it's almost like, well, look, I protected you too, you know, type of thing. Like, mm-hmm. He said, kill them all. And you're blaming me for doing this, but I did it for you.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
So I have you by your balls mm-hmm. because you owe me.
Exactly. I did this for you. Yeah. You could definitely see in that moment he took the power back.
Yeah, he took the power mm-hmm. back. But saying, you owe me, you know.
And the king was being so, I want to say such a dick, but that's kind of not nice. He was being just so forthright for all of those moments.
But here's the thing, though, Bethany. If you understood the king, like we had an opportunity to watch it last week.
Yeah.
And you, if you understood the king, you wouldn't think of him.
I would think he was more compassionate. I would be more compassionate to him.
You would be like, yeah. Yeah, tell them Lannisters, because it's one of those things where the Lannisters are so cruel,
yeah.
and they have their hands in so much negativity that when the king is saying what he's saying, you're like, yeah, because they're such dicks.
Yeah.
Like, they need to be told.
It's funny at what point you come in on a character to view them, because I was watching him treat the younger, like, cousin page boy that's clearly related to them.
Yeah.
So awful. And I immediately empathized with that moment and went, oh, why are you being so mean to this man who's, like, clearly terrified of you and just giving you wine and then talking about your, like, spoils of war?
Yeah.
So I thought that was...
Yeah, Lanzo Lannister, I believe, is the... is the name of the boy that you're speaking of. Yeah, he's a cousin. He's one of the cousins to the Lannisters.
Yeah.
And he's like, I guess he's kind of slow. Is he kind of slow?
I think he's just the servant. Like, he's treated like a servant in their household.
But I thought he mentioned, like, oh, you're kind of slow, you know, or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know if he is. I'm sure we'll learn more about it.
I have to say my favorite scene of the evening was watching Khaleesi stop the cavalry movement and say, no, we're stopping now.
Yeah.
And then she goes to take like a walk through like this bamboo forest or
something.
To
meet up with her brother.
Yeah, and her brother comes and like attacks her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
it's crazy.
It was so crazy.
I like how this story is turning out. Like he first sold her, like basically sold her to the highest bidder.
Yeah,
he actually stated that I don't care if it takes 40,000 men to sleep with you for me to be king. I'm going to do it. That's what he said the first episode. And then here it is. His sister, who he thought was just a pawn, has now she has this power over this, because by her having her husband Drogo.
Mm-hmm.
And so much in love, she pretty much commands this big army that, you know, she has, you know, and you do know, like, you know, the story goes, like, behind every powerful man is an even more powerful woman. And that's exactly what's happening in the situation. You know, she's like, if she says, baby, I want everyone dead, he's going to be like, well, okay.
All right.
And then she says she has a boy in her stomach. I mean, she's given, and then you understand that type of period back then, men meant a lot, like, you know, to have a boy son meant more than anything. So for her to be able to give him a boy, it's saying that her womb is
good.
It's good.
Yeah.
So that's what that symbolism is for. I'm a history. I love history.
I know this is all fictional, and that they even have, as you were saying earlier, like made up languages. Sarah's, like they've actually
created a language
for this book and for this series, which just floors me. What time period are we in?
It's not actually, it's kind of pulled from a lot of like more like the Gothic mythical era, but it's this totally separate world. It's actually, it's not Earth. It's a totally different fantasy land. Like, Lord of the Rings status.
The Middle Earth kind of.
New World.
BC-ish.
But yeah. There's a lot of cultures brought into it. Like, obviously, the Seven Kingdoms are very much like a European almost type feel. Like, you almost feel like they're the French Absolutely. And the English. Yeah. And they have these attitudes that you just seem like that. Yeah. Those, like, the tales of, like,
Camelot.
Arthur, exactly, and Arthur. The Round Table. It's set there. And then you see the other cultures, the Turkarians, who are like the Indian almost type people.
Yeah, and like Mongols, like kind of like a Mongol type.
And it's completely, if you like, completely like kind of like the horse lords of the Persian Empire time, where you had these warriors who only rode on horseback and mission was just to kill people and live off the land. So all these cultures of the ancient times are definitely brought in, which is why it seems kind of familiar to us.
It does. It seems super familiar. And then at the same time, but then you're like in a bamboo forest with like a warrior goddess and you're like, wait a second, let's put this on hold. I'm not quite sure where we are now.
So it's a great book. So it's a fantasy land. It's not actually a time, but for us, it's most relatable to like the ancient times of kings and warlords. Queens.
That's how we think as human beings, we think about.
So it's so similar to like things we've seen depicted as like our past.
Because I can guarantee you,
nowhere
in this story someone's going to pull up in a Bentley. So I'm assuming that all of us going to be a horse.
But we can like look for actors who like left their watch on.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's always fun. Yeah, and you're like, this is great. Wait, dude, is that a watch?
No. It's great.
Does he have that?
I'm confused.
So needless to say, I don't think we're going to see that. So, you know, just like what Sarah said, is it's more mythical, but at the same time, it's set in BC-ish.
I like it a lot.
Not everything is supernatural. We're not talking about everyone's a supernatural being. They're definitely men and that type of thing. But now we have these little components of there were dragons and there's dragons, crazy White Walkers. And everything
I'm ready for the White Walkers.
We're not ready for the White Walkers.
No?
We saw. No, they're like...
they're dead, but they're alive.
Yeah.
But that's why
like 7 foot tall kind
of I'm ready to see some.
She's going to see them and then she's going to be
and then she's
going to
turn away.
Go away!
I mean, if you turned away when you saw the previews of the dog getting stabbed,
I have a problem with like when things are violent towards animals. I guess we'll just let our viewers in on this. Yeah. They were like, "Well, what about people?" And I was like, "No, people bother me too, but like animals really bother me for some reason."
I think that happens with like a lot of people. I don't think these White Walkers are afraid to kill anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know what really their powers. I don't know how they like become created or anything as much. Like the book kind of hints to it. This kind of hinted to it. I'm not really sure what the truth is yet, so I don't even know what to say about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, we don't even know. Like you could end up like killing someone and then them becoming a White Walker. That was the feeling I was getting from the book. Was that like if they killed you, you became one of them. So I don't think they'd rest from killing horses or dogs.
I'm going to have to start in on this book. Yeah. I apologize that I haven't already.
I think it's difficult.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. I think it's difficult to read a book while you're watching the movie.
Sarah, would you suggest it? I mean, you're in the midst of it. And does it take away from the fantasy, do you think, at all?
Okay, well, I've really been thinking about this because I was like, I do want to read the books because I feel like you learn so much little details and histories that make this even real. And this show was targeted a lot for the people who read these books. So all these people do know this. And, like, there are little tidbits of things you don't see. Like, the crow. Like, I had a relationship to the scene with that. But what I'm trying to do is I'm almost in line with this show.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing, because I don't want to know everything. I don't want to be able to say, oh, I know it's going to happen. Oh, I know it's going to happen.
That's
my point.
So what I've been doing to, like, kind of battle against that is I read to where the last episode ended, and then I kind of read, like, a couple chapters more.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not exact. Like, there are some things that have been mentioned before and some things that haven't happened in the books yet that have happened on film and the opposite. But I don't want to read too ahead, so I kind of read till what, like, I think the episode we're going to watch
is. You pace yourself.
And then, like, when I talk about it, it's kind of like, I've read what happened in this episode, but I still don't know what's happening in the next episode.
Okay, that's safe. So that's fair. Yeah.
So that's kind of what
I'm doing.
Maybe
I'll try some of that then, because sometimes I get really into the books and like I don't know about you, but I'm so excited for The Hunger Games. I don't know if you've read that series. I can't think of the writer's name. Isn't that awful that I don't know the writer's name right now? But it's a 3-book series, and it's fun, and it's I think they're casting it now.
Suzanne Collins. Ooh.
Suzanne Collins. It's amazing. I love The Hunger Games. But as I'm like waiting for these movies to come out, I'm like a little bit terrified.
Yeah, because you don't want to be like, that's not like the, you know, it's not like the book. And then you're so disappointed. That was my thing. I don't want you.
You don't want to be disappointed.
No, you don't want to be disappointed at all.
Yeah. Honestly, I haven't read the whole series, so I can't speak for every reader who's read them. Mm-hmm. But so far, I think that they've done a pretty darn good job. Like, there are some little things that are like, oh, like, we're looking at the screen right now and we're seeing the whole fight scene with the new Khaleesi, whose name is Dany. Like, she's watching. And, like, there's little things. Like, in the book, her eyes are violet. In this, they're, like, blue. But nothing too big. Like, for the most part, they're pretty loyal to the book. Yeah. And, like, it's really easy to, like, envision this in the book, which to me is what expectations are about.
I agree.
So I think they're doing a good job.
I feel that way with Harry Potter. Like being a Harry Potter fan, I think maybe there's like one movie that I was a little disappointed to out of the lot of them. Yeah. But overall, like, I'm pretty much thrilled with all of the movies.
I would agree. On the Harry Potter note, I would definitely until the last movie.
Exactly. It was the last movie
I'm talking to you directly.
And maybe I'll feel better once the next one comes out.
Yeah.
I've been like really like sated by them, and like I feel as a loyal fan and viewer that I'm like they've been doing a good job with them.
Yeah, with my short experience, this show is doing a great job of really keeping characters alive and giving them dynamic and like making everything look really real. Like the wall is a crazy giant ice structure.
That CGI is amazing, right?
Yeah, and like honestly, if you're invested in the show, I believe it. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, this looks so fake and everything looks so cheesy. Like, they even make the dragon eggs look like real eggs.
You're like, I have seen dragon eggs and I know
that's not that
this is an actual dragon egg.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
I have a dragon egg right here.
So they're taking everything and I feel like they're just really pushing every little detail and I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I love this elevator as well. I had fun watching that. This like giant elevator going up this wall. I'm like, wait a second, wait. And then I'm like, oh no, it's not a real Earth. You can have those giant elevators, of course. And that's what kind of makes it fun. God, I think we covered everything. I think we did it.
I think we did too.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the predictions when we.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if anyone ever wants to like call in and give us things that we might have missed or you want to hear more about,
I'm sure there's plenty of experts on this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's plenty of people who have a lot to say.
Someone's gonna call and be like, actually, this is like this and this and this, and we're gonna be like, whoa.
I will bow down to it. I will take it. I appreciate it.
Very interested in this.
Yeah.
I feel like the more information you know about the show, the richer it gets.
Yeah.
And I think that's just going to happen with every episode. We're just going to learn more and more and more.
And I don't think we have any news and gossip on this show this week. I think there's zip zero. So I guess we can go straight to predictions. Is that cool? All right. So what do you guys predict for next week?
Right after this commercial break.
Okay. There we go. We'll just wait.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
All right, let's go to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
I love it. Curtis, you want to go?
Okay. First of all, I predict that Sarah's going to wear something else hot, and she's going to look gorgeous next week.
Yeah, I think that's an easy prediction.
And I predict that Bethany's going to, you know, she's going to.
I'm
going to
step
well.
It up and yeah, put some makeup on.
Yeah, she's going to put some makeup on because, you know, you're going to get, you know, hot women.
I'm dolled up.
I'm going to get purdy.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, now, and I also predict that my girl, Aria is going to become this great. I mean, she's going to get more and more skilled and more. She's going to play a really, really intricate part. Somewhere in this movie or this series, I predict, and you know it's going to get winter and these, you know, yeah. You're going to see these walkers.
I'm going to add on to your prediction. Yeah, I think the imp is going to. God, I feel like I'm saying something wrong when I call him the imp.
Scamador.
Okay. I'm like
you can call him Tyrion.
Tyrion. Tyrion.
Tyrion. Tyrion. Tyrion. It's T-Y-R-I-O-N.
All right, so okay, Tyrion. Or Tyrion. I think he's going to encounter something fierce in the woods, whether it's a white walker or a wild thing or something.
So you think he's going to leave behind the wall? You think he's going to go down into the basement?
He's going back to summer. That's what they said. He's Kingsland. To Kingsland. He's going on a journey. And so I think during that journey, something's going to happen to him. That's my prediction.
I'll add on to your prediction. Mm-hmm. I think he's going on this. He's obviously going on this journey. I think he's going to end up at Winterfell. And I think we're going to find out whether or not he really had something to do with Bran's attempted assassination. Because we learned in this episode that it was his dagger.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure if he did this for his family or if they stole it for him and, like, plotted him to get found. Because I would not put them past, like, sending even their own brother, like, into a mess like that. So I'm thinking we're going to see whether or not he tries to attack him again once he finds out he woke up and, like, wasn't actually assassinated.
Yeah.
So I think that's the next step for him. I also think that we are going to see a little more of, like, I want to see what Kat does. I think we're going to see Kat trying either prying into something or, on the other hand, I think we're going to see Ned and the guy Littlefinger, or I believe his name's, like, Peter, I think we're going to see more competition between them, something along those two.
And definitely Ned and Jamie, they're going to have a little problem.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Problems, woo-hoo! problems.
Well done. Thank you so much.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.